Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Joins me usually every Tuesday to recap individual company news and also take a general look at the broad markets, which is where we are going to start today. A really bad day for the U.S. equity markets yesterday, the worst day of the year, quite frankly, all on the back of tweets and trade wars and China news. Nothing seems to be going in the right direction when it comes to these free trade agreements. But one thing that's interesting today is the U.S. markets, again, almost looking at that big down day yesterday as a buy the dip type of mentality. One thing to note, though, is that the markets were down for about six straight days heading into today. And now they're actually getting a buy to come close to closing out the day. We don't know how the last couple hours are going to go, but it has been some interesting cash flowing in. Joel, what do you think? Still the mentality is buy the dip for these equity markets?
First of all, Corey, thanks for having me on the show today. One thing you got to keep in mind here is, yeah, you had a bad day yesterday, but in some of the after hours trading, it looked like we were going to have another recap of that day. And there was some crazy after hours action. And we're 100 points off the low that we made like around 6:15, 6:30 yesterday. Buy the dip right now. It's working. We got hit. Had a higher open, zigged and zagged. But right now, those buy the dippers are tough to shake. And you've seen a nice rebound in the market. S&Ps are up nearly 50 points. Dow up 270. So for right now, yeah, buy the dippers reign supreme.
So, Joel, any importance, too, of the S&P coming down, coming close to that 200-day moving average, but not breaking below it as it did back in the very beginning of June?
I'm not a huge fan of the moving averages or the 200. They tend to be, a lagging indicator. It's what a lot of your longer term market participants pay attention to. You just have to be out there. If you want to buy this market, you have stocks that you want to buy and you have levels. You just gotta look at the devil in the face and put those orders out there, because they'll hit them when they're going down. But as you're seeing it, what's evidence in the market today, a lot of people, they're scratching their head saying, I missed the bottom. And it's much harder to buy in a kind of upswing market that you have today. All the shorts that were, sitting on a lot of profits yesterday, just getting their bids peppered on the way down. Now they're rallying into a close, a rising market, which is much, much more difficult to do, either A, to cover short, or, B, to initiate a long.
All right. Well, Joel, that is very true. And hey, some of these markets can just shake you out, even when all these fears come in, but then money comes flowing back in. And yeah, it turns out to be another great buy the dip mentality or opportunity if you can get in at the right time. Let's also quickly just recap earnings season, because I feel like this earnings season was kind of forgotten by a lot of investors because of all the news around trade wars, around central banks. But we did see some pretty wild swings on the back of either earnings beats or earnings misses. What's your general recap of the earnings season we just went through in the U.S.?
You had lowered expectations going into the earnings. You had a lot of stocks rally into the report and then rally hard after the report. What kind of stuck out to me was a couple stocks like Apple and Facebook, not so much, maybe even Microsoft, where, they jacked them right, after the report, some to do no new all-time highs. But whether it was just profit-taking or other market mechanics coming into play, a lot of those moves had faded. So, it's tempting to play stocks into earnings because you have the big moves. It's heightened volatility in the options, so you're paying up more. But I think for me and for my style a little bit going forward, let them do the report. You know, let them do the pre-marketing after hours trading, and let them trade that day of the report, and then really put a close eye on the the high and the low and the close from that day, and use that as significance. Apple, just for example, big run up in the report, good report. You know, China didn't hurt as much. And, you know, you had that big run-up to, let me see what it was. Let me pull up here on my computer. You had the big run-up, and actually on earnings day, you hit a high of 221.37 with a low of 211.30. You closed at 213.04 on that day. Now, there were some other markets mechanics going on, but you never got near that high. 221.37. The next highest high you had was 218. And now if you were so inclined to buy Apple, you didn't want to do it before a report, you are actually getting it at to a discount before it had that good earnings report. So every earnings season is different. The market mechanics are different. The news is certainly different. So that's kind of going to be my new approach here moving forward with these earnings stocks. And we still have, Corey, we still have retail earnings coming up. And, you know, there's a lot of hits and a lot of misses with retail earnings. So we'll be keeping an eye on the fledgling retail sector.
Yeah, fledgling retail sector is spot on. That's what I was about to say, too, is that this is one sector that, who knows, maybe it will surprise to the upside, but retail has really been struggling. Joel, let's also dive into a stock, or two stocks, I guess, that you were covering on the pre-market show today. This is AMD and IBM. Because of some website that came out and said that there was going to be a management change here, and it moved the stocks, but then as the news actually came out that it wasn't actually news, then the stocks came back. Just recap what you were chatting about on that pre-market show with these two companies, please.
Yeah, and the lesson to be learned on this is that, you know, if you're a news trader or you're observing the markets, you know, during the pre-market and after hours, just be real careful where that news comes from. I'm actually looking for the site that reported it. I had never heard of it, right? And they hit AMD into the lower 27s. They rallied up. They rallied IBM. It was 2 or 3 points higher than when it's trading now. And, you know, on the show, I'm like, well, who said this? You know, what say? I mean, if it's coming from Reuters or Bloomberg or Dow Jones or the company itself, then it's a whole different thing. But no word from IBM, no word from AMD. Lo and behold, Lisa Su actually tweeted at, sketchynews.com. I don't even know what it is. And said, hey, I'm not going anywhere. And boom. AMD turned around and now is trading up 88 cents on the session, and IBM has given back almost all of its gains. So just, you know, if you're a news trader or a news investor, you look at these kind of things, look at the source before you hit the button, because in this market, as you know, news and rumors move the markets, and that's certainly what happened. If you're wondering why you saw AMD in the lower 27s today and IBM near 144, that was the reason.
But this is also kind of a function of these markets that we're in, isn't it? Just such headline-driven markets that there seems to be a lot of money, or who knows, even computer trading that seems to wait for some sort of a headline to drastically move stocks. It doesn't necessarily change the long-term trend, but it can sure shake some people out. Again, just kind of the market we're in, though, isn't it?
It is, and they, you know, it starts from the, you know, the top down here, you know, and on the top down, I mean, you know, coming out of our administration. I mean, I don't even know if they have public relations. Twitter is the way to go here. I have a hard time keeping up my Twitter feed and, you know, reading everything that's on there. But certainly, you know, when these stocks make these kind of moves, first you got to look at what the news is and then pay attention to who the source is. I'd hate to see any of your investors or traders, you know, get caught on something like that. Now, you know, do you short blindly IBM into some kind of news like that? No. But if you have a profit target that's coming into play based on that news, man, go ahead and take it. And plus, also, if Lisa Su took over IBM tomorrow, I mean, what is she going to do? Is she going to change the company in one day? No, not at all. That's a company that's underperformed the market for years and probably will continue to underperform in the future.
Yeah, so true. But again, I think it's just so important to pay attention to some of these longer term trends. It's a tough world to be a day trader in. I never recommend day trading, but the overall trends, I think, are the most important, and still understanding that, man, there's a lot of liquidity out in that system. So don't be surprised at seeing some of these swings.
Yeah, one other thing too. I mean, you just want to pay attention to stocks and, you know, how they react on big down days and stuff. If they don't seem to go down as much as you think, that's kind of a telltale sign, is, you know, too. As opposed, if there's a super strong day in the market and your stock's not reacting, you know, market forces are always at work.
Yes, they are. But hey, that's why it gives us something to talk about day after day. And now we're just chasing headlines too. But that's a lot what the markets and I think even the central banks are doing. But that's a whole other discussion. Joel, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today. Always great having you on the show. And hey, everyone, go click that link below and listen to the recordings of Joel's pre-market prep show. Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, Corey.